The contrast between light and darkness permeates our readings for this weekend, at the recognition that these two are aspects of our lives, that we each encounter light and darkness, good times and difficult times. In our first reading, the darkness that is being characterized by the prophet Isaiah is the northern kingdom, Israel. It is being threatened by the Assyrian army. And it's a massive power. They don't really take captives. They're considered quite brutal. And so they are looming kind of in the horizon. And I would imagine that for many of the people of Israel, it affected their daily lives to kind of know that over, you know, just across the hills, over on the other side, was this darkness that just was kind of there. They may have tried to not think about it at times, but it always was just there. That reality that just over the river, just over the mountains, was this presence that threatened their very existence. We, as a Christian community, are one body. That is what Paul's letter to the Corinthians is speaking of, that we're not to be divided among one another. We're not to look to our own or to ignore another group, to see our own pain is not affecting others or another's pain from affecting us. And so it's in that recognition that there is a darkness looming in one of our communities here in Louisville, that the news of St. Leonard and the closing of their school, unfortunate certainly, but almost ironic here at the beginning of Catholic Schools Week. It is a painful reality that the people of St. Leonard, the students, the teachers, the average parishioners are faced with the reality that what they have known to be their community will soon cease to exist. St. Leonard's will go on, of course, but not in the same way. It simply can't. With their school closing, it's a hard reality not to look at. And their pain is our pain. My heart hurts for St. Leonard and that community, for what they have experienced and what they will experience in the near future. We are one body. Their darkness is our darkness. We too, as a community, in years past, only a mere 5-6 years ago, knew what it was like to have that threat on the horizon, the reality that our school may have closed. Thanks be to God, it has excelled and turned around in a most miraculous sort of way. But the reality is that the question is still out there. What are we doing? How are we going to live in this new reality where schools just close? And it's the reality that we are faced with, and we can try to ignore it. Just like the people of Israel, they were faced with this Assyrian army, and yet they could have at times tried to avoid that darkness, not think about it, but it was still looming over the horizon. There's a cartoon that comes to mind. If you want to take a look at it, all you have to do is Google, pull up that Google machine, you have my permission, and put in existential dread cartoon. Don't worry if you don't spell existential right. Google will fix it for you. Existential dread cartoon. But I'll describe it for you. It's six different scenes. And in the first scene, well, to begin with, the character in all these scenes never loses his smile. It's threatened, but he still remains smiling the entire time. In the first scene, it says, buy a new tie. In the second scene, it says, cook macaroni. In the third scene, it says, do cardio. In the fourth, he is simply just sitting there. And he's smiling, but you can kind of tell something's different. And it says, don't let the existential dread set in. In the fifth scene, he's sweating, like profusely. He's still smiling, but he's sweating, and there's like this vibration movement. So it's like he's really concentrating. Don't let it set in. And then the sixth scene, vacuum the rug. Basically saying, do something so that the existential dread doesn't set in. Now, what does that mean? Well, existential dread is that feeling, that darkness of, what does this all mean? What is the point of any of this? And we can, many of us, myself included, do all kinds of things. Buy a new tie, cook macaroni, do cardio, even vacuum the rug to avoid it. Because we don't like to sit and actually face that reality, that there's some doubt and confusion as to what all of this means. What's the reality that we are facing? It's much easier to go buy something or do something and spend our time not looking at that darkness. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to just go home and just sit in the darkness just to sit in the darkness. But it's good to actually experience it. There is healing to be found if we encounter Christ in the midst of that uncertainty, in the midst of that doubt. There's another type of cartoon that I want to bring your attention to. Have you ever seen one of those that shows one picture on the left and one picture on the right, and it says, find the differences? And you have to sit there and you look at the minute details, trying to figure out, what is it about this one that's different from this one? And there's something similar at play in today's readings. I don't know if you caught it. I had to go back and check multiple times just to make sure that I didn't get it wrong. But Isaiah, in his own words, says the people who walk in darkness. Christ, and I don't know why exactly, but I think I have an idea. He doesn't say the people who walk in darkness. He says the people who sit in darkness. And I kind of wonder why he chose to word it that way. Why he put the words of Isaiah in a different, slightly different context. It's only a small difference, but I do wonder if he wasn't trying to invite us into something. A people who walk in darkness, well, they're taking things in their own hands. They're going to figure it out themselves. They might fall and trip while they're doing it. A people who sit in darkness are waiting. They're looking for something. They're waiting for the light to come. And I wonder, I believe, that Christ is inviting us to sit in that darkness, to recognize that Christ came to sit with us in that. Whether or not it's the existence of our school or some other difficulty in your life, whatever it might be, whatever that darkness that might be that's looming on the horizon for you, I believe that Christ is inviting us to sit in that for a little while. Not to let the darkness consume us, not to be a part of the darkness, but most importantly, to wait in the darkness, to sit in it, knowing that Christ, the light itself, is on its way. That the light itself desires to sit with us in that darkness. It's a slightly different way of looking at it. It's the reality that we can busy our lives with all kinds of other things. We can go buy something, we can make something, we can do and do and do. But I think Christ every now and then invites us to sit in that darkness and to wait with him the light that is to come. For we are one body in Christ, and it's sitting in that darkness that prepares us, I believe, to hear that voice. The same voice that called Peter and Andrew, James and John, that simply says, "Come, follow me."